This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Many St. Louisans know that the Rockettes, the famous Rockettes, began right here in St. Louis and, of course, went on to be legendary. But if you had to guess, when do you think the first black Rockette made the line? Just go ahead and think about it. What year? You'd probably be wrong. It's 1987. 1987. Jennifer Jones was that Rockette, and she is becoming spectacular. It's her book about the rhythm and resilience of the first African-American Rockette. Thank you so much for joining us on KMOX.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
You know, I did query several people here in our newsroom, and I said, what year do you think it was? And no one guessed right, because 1987 does seem very recent. So, and I'm looking, by the way, at your Rockette pictures, and you definitely have the legs for it. Wow.
Thank you.
What was your, tell us about how you became the first African-American Rockette. Had that been a dream of yours, or was it just something that you decided to go for later?
Well, when I started practicing dance in New York City and really learning the ropes and how to audition, I was going to be a Broadway star. My parents were big Broadway goers. They went to see Hair and Pippin with Ben Vereen. And when The Wiz came to Broadway with Stephanie Mills and Mabel King and Andre DeShields and all these powerhouses, they took me and my sister to see it five times. And I fell in love with the stage and the backstage door and waiting for those actors to come out. So my dream was to be on Broadway, but being so green in the business and just learning everything and very nervous at auditions, a friend of mine said, you know, Jennifer, you should go to this Rockette audition. You would make a great Rockette. I had no idea who the Rockettes were. My parents never took me and my sister to see them. So, and there weren't any like Google search engines or social media around that I could easily look up who the Rockettes were. But the morning of the audition, I decided to go because I needed to work on my craft. And I arrived at the music hall. And there were a line of women draped around with the hair done perfectly. They knew what outfits to wear for the audition. And I just got up the end of the line. And I actually thought about leaving numerous times. And just as I was about to step off the line, a voice inside me said, stay, almost so hard that it like pushed me back in the line. And if I had not stayed on that audition line, I never would have made it to the Rockette line.
Was there an actual like pronouncement, no African-American Rockettes? Did they try to discourage people from trying out? Or was it just that if you were black and you tried out, you wouldn't make it?
In the audition, it did say ethnic minority encouraged to attend.
Oh.
So So that was another reason why I went. But I had no idea of the history of the Rockettes. It would be over my 15-year Rockette career that I would learn about the Rockettes and what the founder, Russell Market, actually thought, which was that if there were a colored girl, quote unquote, on the line, that it would distract from the precision of the Rockettes and you would lose the unison, which is the hallmark of them dancing, 36 women dancing as one dancer. So it would take years for me to learn that. And that was the thought process that was passed down to the choreographer at the time. I think that in 1987, they got, meaning they, Radio City, the Rockettes, were getting knocks at the door from the NAACP saying, you're not an equal opportunity employer. This needs to change. And they were getting that knock for years. So I think in 1987, they were definitely looking for a Black woman to come on the line.
So what is it like to be that person? Did you get any pushback? Was it okay? What was that experience like being the one to break that color barrier?
With change comes resistance. There were people on the line, ladies, people in management, who were ready for a Black woman to come on the line. In 1987, under the backdrop of New York City, it was time. But of course, people like Comfort, they are resistant to change, especially when it comes to race. And yes, I did get pushback. People did, in ways, let me know that they did not want me there and I was not welcome. But I leaned into the people who were teaching me the Rockette technique, who were ready for that change. And I leaned into the love that I had for that stage. No one was allowed to take away the dancing, the stage, the lights, the red lipstick, the lashes, and walking out of that backstage door from a performance. That was for me, and no one was allowed to take that.
How long was your Rockette career, and what would you say would be your favorite or one of your favorite memories or experiences of it?
I was a Rockette until 2002 when I retired, and then I went to Broadway after that. I had so many great experiences as a Rockette. I got to tour with Susan Anton, Joe Layton, and Maurice Hines, and I got to see different parts of the country that I never would have seen. I had the chance to dance on the stage with Anne Margaret, Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams. I got to wear Bob Mackie costumes, and I really got some really great friendships from the Rockettes. So there's not one thing. It's like a blanket of things that I take with me.
And as you were putting together Becoming Spectacular, what was that moment when you thought, I really need to write this all down?
I picked up the pen and paper through several points in my life. And I always started to write it. And then something would happen, and I would put it down for months, a year. And I realized that I just needed the right people to come into place to help me get the right words on the page. And I also realized that I had so much more to give besides telling my historic tale of becoming the first African woman on the Rockette line. I had more to tell about my life. I'm a stage 3 colorectal cancer survivor. I have more to give back. And now was just the time. So the universe deemed it was now.
Well, it is a great story, and I appreciate you joining us. The book is Becoming Spectacular, The Rhythm of Resilience from the First African-American Rockette. She is Jennifer Jones. Thank you so much for sharing your story with the Voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Thank you for having me.